Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the year 1567, Guido de Bray was executed by hanging in Belgium. De Bray was a Christian, albeit a heterodox one. He did die for his faith. He was the author of the Belgic Confession, one of the Reformed Confessions. Before he walked up the gallows steps, he asked for permission to write a note to be given to his wife. That permission was granted. He did write the note, and this is what the note said in part. "O my God, now the time has come that I must leave this life and be with you. Your will be done. I cannot escape from your hands. Even if I could, I would not do it, for it is my joy to conform to your will. It is my joy to conform to your will." Incredible words, aren't they? Words wrought by a heroic faith. It seems that de Bray, though Reformed, had a pretty good understanding of the theology of the cross and the need to bear what our text calls chastisements, even chastisements unto death. The Jewish Christians addressed in the book of Hebrews also knew afflictions, chastening, disciplines, trials. Chapter 10 of the epistle speaks about their great struggles, their sufferings, reproaches, their tribulations, the plundering of their goods, and their being made a spectacle of. Yet in comparison to people like de Bray, their sufferings were really pretty minor. We hear in the text itself that they had not yet resisted to the point of bloodship. In other words, they had not yet resisted to martyrdom. And apparently a number of these Hebrew Christians that were the addressees of the book of Hebrews were complaining about their sufferings, about their trials, about what the Lord allowed them to come upon them. Can't you just hear them? "Why me, O Lord? Why does this happen to me?" You see, they preferred a theology of glory to a theology of the cross. Indeed, as is evidenced at other places in the book of Hebrews, they were in danger of actual apostasy, giving up the faith entirely, thinking that the Christian life was supposed to be easy. But now, before we harsh out too much on these Hebrew Christians, perhaps we should take a look at ourselves as well. How well do you like the discipline, the chastisement, the sufferings which God allows to come upon you? Sometimes in your sinful nature, do you say, "Lord, why me?" Do you perhaps say, "Are you really in charge, God?" Do you say, "Oh Lord, do you really love me?" I don't know about you, but I don't particularly care for the sufferings that the Lord brings my way. And in my fallen flesh, I too have asked these questions. Oh, only if the theology of glory were true, but it's not. Illness, financial difficulties, marital problems, problems with children, problems with friends, problems in school, academic difficulties, emotional problems, legal difficulties, the death of family members and friends. Who really likes any of these? Who would wish these upon anyone? And so hence come our sinful responses to these things, shaking our fist in the face of God. But fortunately, God doesn't shake his fist at us. In fact, in our reading today, he makes four very specific points about these chastisements and about how they are part of his blessing of us. Number one, all of the chastenings of the Lord that come your way or my way come only out of the love of God for us. You see, if he didn't chasten us, we wouldn't see our sins. We wouldn't see how off track we were. We wouldn't come back to the cross of his Son. Point number two, by our chastenings, by our sufferings, we know that we are sons of God, or to be politically correct today, children of God. What that means is that the loving Father chastens the child out of love to provide him the right direction. Just think, if a father in this world did not chasten, did not discipline his child, the child would turn out to be a terror, literally. Indeed, our text even says that those who are not chastened are illegitimate. They are bastards. They are not true children of the Heavenly Father. Point number three, whatever chastening we have to undergo in this life is but for a few days, as the text says, in comparison to the eternity of God's love in Jesus Christ for you and for me. Now, while we're in the middle of those chastenings, those sufferings, the minutes, the hours, and the days seem like centuries. But fortunately, when the Lord gives us relief and we are able to look back on them and we see his merciful hand, they don't look quite so long. Point number four, the chastening of our Heavenly Father allows us to be, in the words of the text, partakers of his holiness and yields us the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You see, through our sufferings, through our trials, through those things we have to endure in this life, we are conformed to the very image of God, who is Jesus Christ. Christ is the holiness of God. Christ is the righteousness of God. Through our sufferings, we begin to see more clearly the true meaning of Calvary. We see the absolute wonder of the forgiveness of our sins. We are drawn to Christ and us into him as the Father draws us to the Son. You see, what I've been saying is that all of our afflictions, our trials, and our difficult times are the cross that we have to bear. But they bring us straight to Christ and his cross, where we see the greatest of afflictions that he bore himself for us. In the words of the text, just a few verses prior to our reading today, Christ has, quote, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You and I were baptized into the reality of Christ's death, resurrection, and yes, his suffering. And just as we know that his suffering was not the end of the passion story, likewise, our suffering as we bear these afflictions is not the end of our story in him. We have seen his victory over sin and death. We do not lose hope. We know that our sufferings are not the end of the story, but that there is blessing upon blessing in them and beyond them. We may find it hard to say with Guido de Bray that it is our joy to suffer for Christ. But as baptized Christians, we know that all of our sufferings, our trials, and our afflictions have a purpose ordained by God. We share in the divine life of Jesus Christ through them. Luther had these words to say about the Lord's chastisements. What is our suffering compared with the unspeakable joy and glory which shall be revealed in us? If one could grasp this fully in his heart, he would have to say, Though he were burned or drowned 10 times, if that were possible, it is nothing whatsoever when viewed in light of the future glorious life. For what does temporal suffering, no matter how long it lasts, amount to in comparison with eternal life? I will gladly keep silence about my suffering, not boast or brag of it, but patiently bear all that my dear God sends and lays on me, and even thank him from all my heart that he has chosen me for such a great, surpassing goodness and grace. As you bear the chastisements that the Lord brings your way, may all the pain and suffering that you will have to bear drive you to the cross, thanking your Heavenly Father for his surpassing goodness and grace in Jesus Christ. May he conform us to his will through our sufferings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.